I want to bless everybody here. There's a lot of people here that we love, a lot of people here. We've shared a lot of very special times together, and a lot of us in lots of different dimensions know each other in different ways. I just want to bless everyone here. We should have homes, beautiful Jewish homes, that you feel as comfortable and as good as when you walk into the rider's home. I'm sitting here past, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour or so. I was looking at Gail and Ben's kids, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and thank you for opening your home to all of us. And thank you for giving us a chance to get together in your place. And again, I just want to bless everybody to be able to have, the Rishima of this house should stay with us all. And thank you to Yonatan for arranging this. Here's Yonatan. It's good to clap. When you clap, we bring it here, there, it's the sound. Thank you. Thank you, Yonatan, for giving me a chance to sit with Rav Joey and Dovel. Friends and teachers, really. And what a time to be alive. What an unbelievable time to be alive. To be able to learn from them and with them and hang out with them. It's amazing. It blows my mind every time. Keep cranking out the Nigunim Joey and saying the Torah is Dovel, and keep cranking out the Nigunim of Dovel and keep saying the Torah is Joey. It's really something. This is very special. Thank you to everyone for making time, coming out on the Motzei Shabbos. And this is quite a lot of malchus, it happens to be, as far as on a typical Motzei Shabbos. I think there's real Motzei Shabbos in Paramus. I don't like that. And we have the Pomerances. Because at Eitan had a lot of Pomerance Shabbos. It'll hold to do, a Leil Shabbos with a kugel and cholent and batom and lots of whiskey and lots of everything, lots of chevra. It's a regular Leil Shabbos in my house, as if I'm not even passed out of the living room with magnetiles all around me. It's like a Motzei Shabbos, I'm just kind of waiting for Oda to come home from yoga and to have a cup of tea together. This is really, really amazing. It's really very beautiful. Shulchan Aruch, it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Ha'ol misader adam is a seder to Motzei Shabbos. And after, you can come out of Shabbos, like Joe explained so beautifully, this chaotic transition out of something so beautiful and hopeful and light, a time which is just pressured and stressed and having to do something and feeling that yearning to do something. So the Shulchan Aruch tells Ha'ol misader adam. A little, to eat a little something, a kazayis, that's a little, to eat a little something, but it has to be some seder to it. It needs a vessel. The Blazer Silver was one of the great leaders of North American Jewry. He saved Jews. He was in the Vada Hatzala. He saved Jews physically, and he saved Jews spiritually after the war. He was the chief rabbi of the United States and Canada. Anyone knows the reference? For those who are playing at home. Blazer Silver came to Yerushalayim and spent Shabbos with Gedolei Hador. And on Motzei Shabbos, he came to visit the Brisker Rav. When he came to the house of the Brisker Rav, he saw that the Brisker Rav was very meticulous and very specific about how he spent his time and what he was busy with. He was setting up the table with a Shabbos plate, and a fork, knife, and a spoon. His wife brought a proper Shabbos, a china cup with a hot tea. At the table, and he set up, and he sat down. They put out food, and he washed. And they didn't really talk so much. Brisker was doing his thing, and very carefully, meticulously ate basically kazayis of bread, and then benched. Reb Blazer was, curious. He made such a whole to do. He made a whole stink about the table. A whole to do at the table, but he only had a little bit of bread. Brisker Madai said, follow me, Sader Adam implies that on Motzei Shabbos there's no inyan of oneg, but there is of kavod. A person has to be mechabed this gathering, like this Indian, that there's a thing to have a suda on Motzei Shabbos. That's still an aspect of Kavod Shabbos. Honoring Shabbos by escorting Shabbos out. There's Kavod Shabbos on Motzei Shabbos, but not honoring Shabbos. He said that's why he only had a little bit of bread. But he hadn't come to Olam Malka for Yesh Olam with a double of joy at the riders. This is a real Oneg. And this is a real Oneg Shabbos. You know? This is something not to be taken for granted. Anyways, I'm on the road. Not now, I feel very comfortable here. But if I stop for like a second and remember where I am, I'm like, I had the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of, you know, coming and going a little bit more than maybe I did in the past. Lots of a show, in and out. And the only safer that I take with me, whatever, I think whatever Masifta is, we're up to, just to walk around with it because it looks really good. It's good for business, they don't expect. They're waiting for like a pioneer or something like that. They're waiting for me to walk around with their Ishbisa or something like that. Well, the Masifta, it's already. Also, Jason told me I should have said it's good for piston. He said I think it's good for the image. So like, that's what I do. So thank you for that. But also with me all the time is Alon Lechufa. The letters that Rav Nassim wrote to his family when he was traveling. Because I have this epic dimion that like the letters that I write to my children and wife when I go. They're going to be for posterity, and they're going to be, you know, people going to read them and say, wow. Like, I want to say, whenever I send like these text messages home, like, print this out and save it somewhere. Somebody's going to want to read this at some point, you know? Anyways, this is a Shabbos where there's like a real emphasis on Klal Yisrael crying out to Hashem. Ve'yitz'aku, ve'yamchu, ve'ta'al shavatam. There's just this real crying out to Hashem. That's what Shovim is. We're in it. Nino Hashem is telling Anochi Eirinicha Mitzrayma that I'm with you, and this is scripted, literally scripted. Anochi Eirinicha Mitzrayma, all the encouragement of the world, we still need the Tzaddik to come and say what Hashem said is actually going to be. This is actually happening. It's not a dress rehearsal. That, what Hashem told Aaron, like that promise, it's happening now. And we cry, I said, cry out, call out. Latal Shavasam. All of our cries, ultimately, they're meaningful and they matter to Hashem. They're purposeful. Hashem reveals himself to Avram and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov. And we're reminded of that in this week's parasha. And like there's a whole introduction in the midst of this suffering. We're a few generations in, already Yosef is long forgotten. Already the Nile is dammed up with Jewish babies. And already the medrash about Paro bathing in Jewish blood already happened. Like that's where we're at. And there's already an entire generation of Jewish children that are born literally into the ghetto in Goshen. And there's Mialdos, the Shifra and Pua, and there's some here and there, Jews being saved, but I mean, it was an unbelievable time. And the trauma of those families and of that generation. In the midst of all of this incredible suffering, this incredible constriction, terrible avdos, and really surim, not like the bechinas of Yitzur, not like some like metaphor of Mitzrayim being this thing with plastic frogs and like songs and like cute, you know, dioramas of like Baby Moshe and a thing like that's also good, but the suffering and the pain was real. It was really happening. In the midst of all of it, we're reminded that we come from Avram and from Yitzchak and from Yaakov. Three times, over and over again, Moshe keeps telling us, don't forget. There's Avram, and don't forget there's a bris, there's a covenant called bris ben Absarim. And Hashem said it's going to be 400 years. But then this bris is going to result in coming into Eretz Canaan. There's going to be Yerusha, there's going to be a Menucha, there's going to be a Nachla, there's going to be an end here. And in mid-story, everything looks broken in the middle. Everything is broken in the middle. And there's a deconstruction of the family of Israel, and then there's going to be a reconstruction. And we're in the middle of it. And it's really, really, really hard in the middle. And the only hamtaka, the only sweetening of this experience, and the only nechama and encouragement that Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, is able to tell us in the midst of all of it, was that what Hashem said is going to happen is happening. And know that there's something that comes before, and know that there's something that's going to come after. And at the very outset of our parsha, in the middle of all of this chizik, that there's avos, and there's bris, and there's going to be Yerusha of Eretz Israel, V'lo shamu al Moshe, we couldn't hear him. We just couldn't integrate. I couldn't process what Moshe was telling us. Mikotzer ruach, u'me'avodah kasha. There were too many WhatsApps coming in. It was too much going on. Mikotzer ruach, u'me'avodah kasha means there was just a shortness of breath. It was just moving around and being kept busy day and night. We had no chance to even have a shot at like really being connected to what we were experiencing. There was just this short-sightedness. We weren't able to take a step back like we do in davening. In order to stand where we are, in order to like enter into a dveikas v'lashem in a formal sense, like shachas and lichat mar and musaf and whatever it may be, in amida, in order to stand and be connected to where we are and really just get into being okay and like allowing, like Rav Dov says, like the Wi-Fi signal of wherever zone we're in to click. If we take three steps back and we take three steps forward, to know that there's something that is a past and there's a future and there's a process and there's context and we're in the middle of it. Before we can stand and really receive what's happening, appreciate that where we're standing is Admas Kodesh, we have to know that we're running from somewhere and we're going to something, someplace. But the Loshama Moshe, like we couldn't. It was just too much going on. It was too overwhelming. The Kotzer Ruach, from the Avodah Kasha. On Erev Shabbos, I was in Bar Park. The Rebbe's here. And, just went to spend a little bit of time. I ended up taking a nap on the floor in the room that he was meeting people. And I had no vessels to hear anything. I couldn't, there was nothing, there was no, I couldn't do anything. I went to sleep for half an hour, 45 minutes. I think part of it was like, you know, like living this dimion, like this is like some, you know, maisa, but it actually is. And then after I went upstairs and the place you're staying, like the Rebbe and the Portis, there's such a family. She made like a little omelet. I sat there with a couple guys and ate like some eggs and like was there Shabbos. Ate something. And there's an older Jew who lives in the area who always comes to give Shalom Aleichem to Rav Kluger, who was a friend of his father's from Kloisenberg, a person who was born during the war, a refugee, still is a refugee. And he's really white in his beard. And he also came, we sat down, we're having a little coffee together, recognize him, see him. I know that he has a lot of cover for Kluger, another American, he has a lot of cover for him. And he's asking me, what do you talk about? What did you get? Do you have something? Everyone wants to know when you come out. Like, what do you have? I'm like, I don't know. He just gave me a kiss, kvetched, and said, everything is the merit of our wives. He gave me another kiss and said, my baby, and then I went to sleep. That was like the whole thing. I don't have any nuggets this week. Right? Sometimes you get good stuff, but I have nothing. This guy said, the truth is, I come. He said, the Rav always asks me to come to come say Shalom Lech. He always wants to see me. I think it's just because I'm older than him. There's something about seeing somebody who is a couple steps down in the journey. It goes just a little bit longer down the path. Because they have it figured out, not because they have the answers necessarily, because they have some amazing insight that they're going to be able to share, but there's something to, a little bit of white in the beard. spirit, so to speak. Someone kind of was like, kind of, he's still there. The guy's still davening shacharis and mincha and marav, and he still has the tzura of a Jew, and she still is hanging in there, even though b'vadai, they've gone through what they've gone through, and every one of us has gone. There's something to it. I was fortunate to grow up in a shul where there was no youth minyan. There wasn't a youth minyan. We davened in one shul, older people, younger people, kids, adults, grandparents, mothers and fathers, everybody was kind of all together. It made an impression, there's something to seeing somebody who's a little bit older, who's kind of a little bit further down the journey. There's a letter that I wanted to share, just a little bit of a letter, where Rav Nosson is talking, he was writing to his son, Rav David Tzvi. He's writing the importance of just shouting. We don't have the letters, they're not published, the letters that his sons wrote to him, and how he's responding. Well, with a little bit of context, you can kind of understand that things weren't going so well for Rav David Tzvi. Rav Nosson is just writing to him how important it is to just, so he quotes the psukim from our parsha, of just crying out. And he says, I can't tell you anything. I don't have any answers for you. But I can tell you that I'm a little bit older. This is his father. A little bit older. This is the end of Rav Nosson's life, the last year of his life. He's 1844. He's a 64-year-old man. He said, I cannot tell you anything to help you with your challenges with your nisyonos. I can just tell you that I'm a little bit older. And all we can do is cry out to Hashem. B'mi Chavivi. This is written during the summer of 1844. Is at the end. Tzakascha v'na'akascha v'mechtavcha shomer u'mevin. You're crying out. It's your krecht. I hear it. Mevin ma'azin ma'akshiv. Hashem yisparach v'tzadikav amitim. Hashem understands. Hashem hears it. Just letting him know. It's not for naught. It's not in vain. He says it like 10 different ways over and over and over again. I comfort myself and I give myself life just knowing that my father also cried out to Hashem, and Hashem heard his cries too. There's something about like context, knowing that like we're not the first ones going through it. Like this is this generation's not going, this is the worst, this is the most. It's here that Nochem Parsovitz, Mir. A guy came to him and asked him a question once on Rashi, Diuk and Rashi. And he had like a really sharp Diuk and Rashi on the sugi they were learning. Nochem like heard the question, respected that the person had the guts or whatever to come and ask the question. He said, do you know what Rashi says next Amud and the Amud after that? He said, not yet, I haven't gotten it yet. He said, what Rashi said? Last Amud, all the Rashi's? The Rashi's before that? He said, Nachum says, it's not, don't ask your question yet. He said, hold the question. He's mechabed. Well, in Mir, like the worst insult that you could, the worst insult in Mir was that person was kindish, or childish. Like, stop. Don't ask it impulsively. A child wants, like, has something, wants right away to ask. It was kinderish to ask a question on Rashi if you didn't have the full picture. Cheskel Bramsky, as one once came to ask, Tom Chacham came to ask Cheskel Bramsky once a question of Rambam. And the Shver Rambam was a challenging, difficult Rambam. It just didn't go. And there are Jews who spend their entire lives trying to figure out like just literally one syllable of a Rambam. This is one of those Talmid Chachamim. The person was really, but came and asked a question to Chaskel Bramsky. Chaskel Bramsky, picked up the Rambam and turned the page back for a second. And this young Talmud Chacham said, no, I meant, you know, it's Beis. That was the next capital. So Chizkel Rambam said, he said, I'm Arts. You learn a Rambam by reading a Rambam. You learn a Rambam by reading the Rambam before and the one before that, and the one after it, and the one after that. Kinders, this specific question. Take a step back for a second. See a little bit of a big picture. So Nassim writes to his son. We're not the first ones to cry out to Hashem. We're not the first ones to think that maybe Hashem isn't listening to us. We're not the first ones to be born into a world of pain and deal with darkness and uncertainty. And we're not going to be the last ones either, he says. Before we were born, there are Jews who went through it, and after we die, there's going to be Jews who go through it. That's what Nassim's nechama to his son. So it's a cry out to Hashem, but just know that it's going to be the same by your kids as well. And all that there is for us to do, he says, Atah b'ni chavivi, once you understand that, it's a beautiful letter to read. Tav samach vav. So after you understand that's a shmer Rambam, it's true. There's a Rambam that came before it and before that, and the one that's coming after that and after that. After you know all the Rashi's that come first and all the Rashi's that come afterwards, if they can step back and see that there's a big picture, all that's left to do, farish l'chamechadash mechadash haTorah al pasuk hazan l'kabodi, is just to grab on to Reb Nachman's Torah of holding on to a little bit of good, of finding the Kudas Tavas. Not that the suffering's not real, not to give you some morphine shot to distract you from the reality of the Yisurin, of Avdus, and the pain of the reality of Golas. But know that the only thing to do in these situations, the only way, is Azamra L'Alokai Ba'odiv, singing out to Hashem with the little bit that we're able to grab onto. Start again. Again and again and again. It's the most basic Torah. So, you can't say it already. You can say it again, Rishpei Beis. Again to grab onto Nikudot Torah. Again to grab onto something small. Again to believe in a little bit of good. See, that's all there is that we can do. I'm like a Weinberger once told my brother. I was asking him, like, going into a new year in a shul, should he pick like a few topics to like talk about every week, like to give people a little bit of like a broad sense of like Shabbos and Kashrus and Erev and Taras Mishpachim, like Shabbos and because talk about mitzvahs I don't necessarily know about it. Or just keep like saying the same thing over and over again, or why would you go, well, that's why I go there in the summer. You need a few weeks to prepare to like find another 300 ways to say the same thing again and again and again and again. Azamar lo kai bodi. To believe that a little bit that we do is important. Again, to renew again and again and again. But after we cry out to Hashem from years, after we cry out to Hashem from our pain and our suffering, to believe. Like Tzadok says, why Yitzias Mitzrayim is so central to our liturgy and so much a part of our life cycle events and such a mitzvah committee that we're thinking about it again and again and over and over. To remember that we can be the Memtet Sharei Tom in the middle of a traumatic experience, and like that, we can come out of it. Not because of our own doing. Like Hashem says, I could take you out of it like that. B'ni b'chori Yisrael. He says, I'm going to share now. He writes in Lashon Kodesh, but he says, I'm going to share now B'Lashon Taish. And the next like three pages are just a Yiddish ramble. Like as if you imagine Lahavdil, Jack Kerouac sitting there as typewriter, just total madness. Without punctuation, without a beginning and an end. Just like a total, just explosive, just like his heart exploding, his insides exploding. Like Rav Kook's diaries, just like writing off the page under the tablecloth. Like when Rav Ari Kaplan would talk, and he just, his dyslexia would just turn him upside down, he would talk so fast, he'd be thinking so fast, he couldn't get into the kalem of words, he was just, And he gets into this taitsh, the Yiddish. We didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu because we listened to Nachum. Kachaya Omer Rabbeinu Hagadol Hanora. When a Jew feels, when a mensch zet is a zer shafel, when a yid feels low, kisha adam roa shehu shafel ma'od. When I see that I know that I've fallen short and I feel low. Asur lo lipol badato. There's a Hebrew touch on the bottom for those of us with Russian Ashkenaz, Yiddish or not. It's not like we're speaking Jewish, it's not our first language. So for those of us on the bottom, it's on the bottom. Asur lo lipol badato. We have to just enliven ourselves and bring ourselves joy. Be yashiv atzmo, and be miyashiv atzmo. Just settle ourselves down and pump ourselves up and be mechazik ourselves up by saying, "V'chilo asiti eiz pam." V'chilo asiti eiz pam mashu tov. That I never do anything good in my life. The 64-year-old Reb Nosson, Kol Torah Kula. Look, the halachos is already written and published. But the tefillos are already written and published. It already happened. This is the end, the last few months of his life. Speaking to his grown adult son, Reb David Tzvi, who was named after his grandfather, the Talmud Chacham Reb David Tzvi Orbach, who Reb Nosson writes about in other letters to his other sons, don't be crestfallen that you're not learning as much as Reb David Tzvi. The younger brother, who was a goal in learning. This is the letters going to him. Chilo asiti ezopa mashu tov. I didn't do anything good ever once in my life. Chilo asiti ezom mitzvah kolshu. I never did a mitzvah in my life. How dare I feel broken? How dare I feel miyash? How dare I feel like I can't do it? Like I'm something wrong with it, like I'm too screwed up to even have a shot at being something in my life. I never did a mitzvah. I'm Tzom B'Yom Kippur. I fast on Yom Kippur. V'gam B'Tisha B'Av. Fast on Tisha B'Av. V'gam Kol Ha'arba Tzomos. This is before there was some thing people on flying on Tzom Italia. I'm just saying. Fast on Yom Kippur. Afapisha koiv li libi mo'od. Even though my heart hurts. Ani holich lefamim gam b'mikvah. Sometimes I go to the mikvah. Feel betoch kol ha'kilkul rachman l'tzlam. And even in the midst of all like the mess up. Like deep in the incognito search bar. Like way, way, way far in the world of Kilkul. Like when the bowling ball is down the slide and I'm like in that, it's like I criticized there already and I'm going to do it again because I'm rolling now. Because the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor and I'm going to roll criticizing my kid. I'm going to keep doing it and hate myself as I do it and it's too late. Get out of my way. Even betoch kol kilkulam ani mityagea ma'od. V'ani rotze ma'od v'hatzil et atzmi. I wish I could just save myself and pull myself out of this negative pattern. I wish I could stop spinning the wheels. I want to stop the wheels from spinning and the mud getting everywhere. I wish I want to pull out. I want to end it. I want to. V'eichshu al kol panim v'eichshu nekudas tavos yesh b'yadayim. There has to be something somewhere. I must have held the door open for somebody once, or put a penny in the pushka once. I must have at some point done something that was Ratzon Hashem. There was an ugly, ugly scene right down the block from our house earlier this year. Ugly, awful. Awful. I don't know how to open it up. I talked about it on Tisha B'Av in camp. It's a Tisha B'Av book. Like a group of two buses of Jews came, screaming and yelling Nazi and calling out a family, a beautiful family. His daughter happened to be my daughter's class. Her father was a Talmud Chacham, Erlich Hayir, who works in Tzahal. And they're just calling out. It was awful. It was so ugly. My children saw it, were crying from it. It was awful. It was literally, it was destruction of the temple every Sabbath. It was awful. And again, it's not the first time we saw something. My kids had to leave school a couple years ago in the middle of the day because it was a group of chever making a fuss about some graves that they said are near the school. This chilul Hashem are things that we've seen. And I was so, I don't know, I couldn't handle it. And later that night, I went to the base medrash that I learned from Eze Yisrael, from Arv. And I was just like, I guess you could see it on my face. I was learning from my chavrusa, comes from the Polisarim family. The person who, Yom HaTzibut is a day of terrible pain for him. 7 years we're learning together. It's a very, very dark pain for him. He says, Tikkun Chatzis on, he's a Tikkun Chatzis, so praise the Lord, he's a Tikkun Chatzis on Hagar to him is like, Mar Nimar, in a real way, because of his love for Klal Yisrael and his respect for the Shechinah, Dveikus Bashem. And we're best of friends. And he said, Ma Ovir Alecha, look, you look like something happened. And I saw something very painful today, it was very hard for me. I said, I'm angry, and I said, I can't, Kasher. So he said, Tedal Chayuda, just know, they also clean their house for Pesach. And I said, yeah, but... He said, Nachon, you're right. You're right. Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damin, Niyuf, and everything bad, and everything bad, and everything bad. He said, maybe one time somebody ate a kezias of matzah on El Seder. There has to be something there that's alive, that's a point of light. There's a lot of darkness. There has to be some point of light there. From that spot, we enliven ourselves. Well, the siyah is b'shum ofen. It goes on and on and on. I wish I could read the whole thing. It's true, we the Akalpan Epis and Kostavos, there has to be some Kostavos. And he said, it's true. Even after we have a moment where we think of something positive and I've done, we feel a little bit good. Right away, the Baldana, right away, the Yitzhar says, yeah, but come on, you should be doing so much more. Yeah, but with the $500,000 your parents spent on a Jewish education, that's the best you can do? There has to be something more. Come on, you're in yeshiva for a year, it's a seminary for 2 years. Come on. You have so much access. Moshe Tzvi is putting up 75 shiurim a week. There's something out there in the world that can blow your mind every single second. I mean, just we live in the same generation as Moshe Wanderer. What's the excuse? Hearing Davros Negunim? Learning Aleph Beis from Joey? I mean, you listen to Josh's shiur on Rav Nachman's journey to Eretz Israel? What the heck is my excuse at this point? And how am I not living my best out here, living my best life all the time? But the Baldavar Misgaber is strong. Gravitational pull is strong. And as much as we're Mechadesh every day, he's also coming to work. He's coming to work. That's why it's Rechon Achar Kach Lachazor V'Leilich B'Zeh. Azamra, Azamra, Azamra. Again, again, again. Yeah, but I fasted on Yom Kippur. What are you at? But yeah, I gave a dollar to Tzedakah. What do you have? That's Netzach and Tzachi. Do we believe or do we not believe? Either it is or it's not. Either doing a mitzvah is attaching us ourselves to an Orient Sof. Either there's a Lakai Neshamash Nesata V'Tahorahi or not. It's not in the middle. It either is or it's not, and it is. V'chein b'chol yom, v'yom b'chol pam. And sometimes over and over again during the day. Besoch kach ozer Hashem Yisbarach habei befrom this gaber lomar v'lasoach kol zel lefnei Hashem Yisbarach to say it to Hashem again and again ribon shel olam v'yazoich bin eich shani the way I am now that's how you want me v'yazoich bin eich shani not the way I ought to be not the way I want to be not the way I should be not the way I used to be or the way I can be. But the way I am right now, these Jews in Mitzrayim were traumatized. The Mem Tet Shaarei Tumah, Erev Ha'aretz, it was not a pretty sight. 4/5 didn't make it out. And they had Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. And they saw the Makos live. slow motion with an Aerosmith song in the background on the Barat hit. And they still didn't make it. Four-fifths still didn't make it out. And that's the generation that received the Torah. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah to a group of people who had it together, he could have done it. It wasn't, it didn't used to be better. Mikotzer ruach me'avodah kasha. Mikotzer ruach comes from the word katsar, which means short. We get stuck when we don't see the big picture. We get stuck when we see just like right here and right now. And I'm spinning wheels that I messed up, that I dropped the ball. When we have a short-sighted view, that's kinderish. It's childish. To share a Rambam when we don't look a page before and a page after, that's called being an Amaretz. Question on Rashi? A lot of questions. I got a lot of questions. Much more difficult questions than whatever question he had on Rashi. Whatever Menachem Barsovit saw that day in Shira on Rashi, I have better questions on Rashi. In fact, my children have better questions on Hashem and on Rashi than everybody. And all of us do. But this what happened before and this is what's coming afterwards. Let's not be childish about it. There's anything that I think that Yonatan is trying to do, what the Chevra is trying to do in this movement, in this space, in this gathering, in this programming, in this effort, is to like give us a chance to like say, like, okay, like it's a process. Just be patient with ourselves. Just know that like whatever was, and whatever is going to be is going to be. I mean, that's the way Yonatan described it. And that this next stage of life, and there's a lot of stages, but the next stage of life, like after yeshiva, after the seminary, after the college, when it's like entering into that uncertain zone, just know, like the way that we are is the way, it's like that, okay, it's okay. You have to try to, don't try to get back to something. That's what you don't know how my arts, it's already like, total food. Don't think about like what's going to be here when I send my kids to school and I don't know, I'm going to leave. Yazoyichben, like Rav Nosson is telling us, cry out to Hashem and turn it over to the Baruch Shalom. Listen to the words of the Tzaddik. Don't get stuck in the kotzer ruach and the short-sightedness. But take a step back, take three steps back. There's avos, there's bris, there's a promise of Eretz Yisrael. It's going to happen. I know how painful this is, he says to his son. Just have a little rachmanis on yourself and remember. Say it, Hashem. I remember Shabarat Oti Mezeri Yisrael. I remember that you created me. I was born, I'm a Jew. Shalom Sani Goy. Bari B'chol Zot. Asuli Bris Mila. I have a Bris Mila. Shafcha was dummy with Shmona. I already spilled blood from Hashem. I already was Moser Nefesh. This 64-year-old Rav Nosson talking to his Talmud Chacham's son. Let's get out of our way a little bit. Let's get out of our heads a little bit. We fasted on Yom Kippur. It's not so bad. Right? Held the door open for Sunday. It's not so bad. I called my grandmother Erev Shabbos to wish her well. Not so bad. There has to be an akut tova somewhere to attach ourselves to. And just to know that like we're not alone. When Reb Steinman Zatzal was Nifter, and Reb Chaim Knievsky tore Kriya and wept. During Shiva, someone asked Reb Chaim, like, what's the great loss of Reb Steinman? You know, now Steinman. He said something to the effect of like, we lost the koch of Zikna. Chaim Knievsky is, I don't know how old he is, late 90s? Somebody can Google it, I mean, he's probably in his late 90s. Not a young man. Steinman was that much older than him. He had that much more experience and that much more context and that much more of a little bit of a longitudinal view. But for Chaim Knievsky, he felt like, I don't know, maybe it was Mikotzer Ruach. Like he felt like he's Katsar compared to like those few more years that Reb Steinman had. To just see our parents, take a look at our parents, like they're figuring it out. look at our aunts and uncles and our grandparents. That's what Moshe says. Hey, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Like, this is a story. They came before us. And like, you know, people end up figuring it out. A little bit of humility, a little bit of bittul, taking the eitz of the tzaddikim, not getting in our own way, just reminding ourselves, the way I am right now, that's how Hashem wants me. That's how Hashem has not been for me. Right now, it's confusing, I'm uncertain, I don't know exactly what it's going to be. Okay. The Jews were in Mitzrayim, it was really, really rough. They cried out to Hashem, in the end, came out of Mitzrayim, and we came to Eretz Israel. Process started again. There's ups and there's downs. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and an end. And sometimes everything in the middle looks broken. The Shver Rambam. A couple pages before, a couple pages after. Hashem should help us that we have Erech HaPayim and Rachmanos on ourselves. And that we have the strength and the ability to just attach ourselves to people who are a little bit more experienced, telling us it's going to be okay. Reading these letters from Nassim, feeling like I'm so screwed up, horrible, and how am I going to do it? What can I do? I'm going to make it. I'm going to have all this in my head. So you read a little bit that, like, a 64-year-old man is talking to his son. He also had things. It's a little bit attach ourselves to our avos, to our imaos, and Ritz Hashem will see that just like the beginning of the story happened, vada, the middle of the story is happening, God willing, the end of the story will happen too. A very sweet ending. We'll see. Gugul Hashem of Meher B'Kar. Amen. Hello.